Next item on the agenda, public hearing, consideration of modifications to the Virginia Commercial Hook and Line crew requirements and propose to define year as a calendar year, clarify participation entry requirements, Chapter 4 VAC, 2995, Tim.
Good afternoon, sir.
Mr. Grist, good afternoon, sir. Y'all have a safe trip going back. Happy Thanksgiving.
I'll try and keep this as brief as possible.
Right.
We have two items in this agenda. On this particular agenda item, the first one has to do with crew list. This item, it was discussed at FMAC meetings in late 2009 and also early in 2010. In your evaluation packet on page 2, we made note of the last 2 years on the crew list. In 2009, for the commercial hook and line licensees, of which there are 200 each year that are lawfully licensed, 41 individuals in 2009 submitted crew list. Of those, we saw on one particular one a maximum crew member size of 232. The average crew list size was about 24. In 2010, we saw 48 out of the 200 submit crew list. The maximum size had gone down, but it was still 128. Average size is about 19. Now, the average size is skewed because of those tall numbers, and it's not just one or two that are 232 and the 128. There are still others in the 50, 60, 70 range also. They're pushing it off that high. So the average probably more traditionally should be a little lower than that if you take out those high numbers.
But, Joe, what's the total number that was actually registered? It's in here somewhere.
The total number that
shown up on list, total number. Did you add? I mean, if you didn't add it up, don't worry about it.
I didn't add up total as far as total number of people.
Fine.
No, sir.
Not a problem.
During the FMEC meeting, when we brought this up this past August 30th, we had two public comments on this issue when we introduced it. One came from Mr. Jim Dawson, he's here today. He happened to state that he didn't understand how anyone could legitimately pay anyone else to work as a crew member on a commercial hook and line vessel and make an operating profit. Now, Mr. Dawson also noted the current regulation allows one enlisted crew member, and any crew list limit should be very low. Also at that same meeting is Mr. Lufford. Now, Mr. Lufford and Mr. Dawson are both commercial hook and liners. Mr. Lufford stated that he had spoken to approximately 60 commercial hook and liners that he's familiar with, and it was their consensus that 15 crew members were enough. Now, we had this discussion further at FMAC at that meeting. The actual committee discussed this a little further. They did mention that allowing large crew member list and twice annual updates. So if you can imagine this, one of the ways you get to 232 is you update that by 70 or 80 every time if you wanted to, and there was no limit at that time. These twice annual updates present an opportunity for an individual to circumvent the recreational bag and size limits, including the operation of an illegal charter boat. FMAC at that meeting recommended limiting the size of the crew list to 15 individuals and allowing the list to be updated only once per year. And that is also in their official minutes from the August 30th minute meeting. We had an additional public comment on this particular item that was from Mr. Harry Dorenty, who, and this is attachment one within your packet, who believes some individuals may be abusing the commercial line license privileges to circumvent the recreational bag and size limits. And he suggested crew lunch should be no more than 10 to 15 people. The other item within this agenda item involves the actual lottery and the transfer and how we operate it. Section 20 of this regulation provides entry limitation, catch restrictions, transfer information, and such. Now, for numerous years, the staff has tried to get the hook and line lottery, which is basically when someone is found not to qualify for their license anymore. Every spring, we try and tally up who those are. We give them an opportunity to respond. We contact them, see if they can get their things straight with us, if maybe something's missing. And if they can't do that, we pull back that license and we make it available in an actual hook and line lottery that we try to hold every spring, though this last year it got delayed and getting held to August. But we have one problem within Section 20, Subsection C of Regulation 995, and I'll just hit the key part, and we mentioned this at the last meeting. For qualifications, the line is, registered commercial fishermen who have reported sales of at least 1,000 pounds of seafood during the course of the previous 2 years, as documented by the Commission's Mandatory Harvest Reporting Program, Well, there's an interpretation problem here that affects both the lottery and also the transfers we process. The definition of what is 2 years. Is it a calendar year, January 1 to December 31, or is it the preceding 24 months? There was, since it wasn't clear in the regulation, it could be interpreted both ways, and it actually confounded staff quite often over the last couple of years when we tried to do the lottery, determine who's in and who's out, who actually qualified at that time to get a license based on the lottery, and also on transfers. Oftentimes with transfers, they had people coming in and presenting us the paperwork, and they didn't have their qualification pounds. They just asked us to hold it until they did.
Isn't it much simpler to track on a calendar year?
It is, very much, and that's the point here. Very much simpler to be on a calendar year for both. It takes this, takes the interpretation away from the staff and makes it very solid and with when we do both the lottery and the transfers. Either you met the criteria or you didn't based on the calendar year. So for 2010, if we'd done it by calendar year, it meant you would have had to meet that 1,000-pound criteria over 2 years from January 1, 2008, to December 31, 2009. Very simple. In addition, to prevent cases, as you just commissioned a scene with overdue data showing up after the fact, as you have seen with blue crabs and spiny dogfish, we add a provision in there to prevent the inclusion of any overdue data. So if they don't have that data in by January 5th, the actual due date for mandatory reports from the preceding month, the 5th being the date for every month, we're not going to look at that information. So if someone tries to dump extra data on us after the fact just to meet the criteria, that report is late, and it's also a violation of Regulation 610. We did not have a public comment on that item. So staff, this has been advertised in accordance to 22209 of the Code of Virginia for a public hearing today. Staff is recommending adopting amendments to Regulation 4VAC 2995-10, limit commercial hook and line licensees to a maximum crew list of 15 crew members, update the crew list only once per year, and use a calendar year to determine eligibility for both the license lottery and the transfers. That's it, sir.
Questions? Mr. Fox.
Yes, if you do not submit your list of crew members, then basically you can't fish. Is that right?
No, sir. You can fish. You're not required to have a crew, and the regulation already provides you to have one unregistered crew member with you.
So a registered person could take one other person and go fishing?
He can fish by himself or take another person with him, and they're okay. Just fine. It's when they have up to three other non-registereds is where the problem comes in. They must have that crew list.
Okay.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Griss. This is a public hearing. Does anyone wish to be heard on this matter? Mr. Ludford. Should have gotten a seat up front.
Yeah.
The seat worked well.
First, I want to. Chris Ludford, commercial hook and line license holder. I agree, we did meet with staff a number of times. I think this issue, not only because of Mr. Dawson's request, but also we said even back in January when we first put a lot of this to rest that we were open to changing that crew size requirement. And we were open to that even back in 2000. Again, I quote the minutes in the final report. That the registration of crew members was discussed and that we recommended 12 people back then. Somehow it slipped through the cracks. I admitted to that. I was on that task force. I don't know how it slipped through the cracks. We've always said we wanted a cap on it to eliminate what exactly has happened. And that is the, I believe it is the appearance of impropriety is what we have here. And 236 people is a pretty big appearance. So we do agree with the 15. I had some people say 20. We also agreed to leave it at twice a year changing, and now we're saying that we would be willing to take the concession of one time a year. Some would argue that if we're only going to change it one time a year, that we should probably go with 20. I talked to the guys today. Like I said, a lot of them weren't aware of this. A lot of this was advertised by regulation, but they weren't familiar with the change from a twice a year possible change to a once a year. It does seem that a majority have agreed that they can live with the once-a-year change. We also can live with the 15 crew member. One thing that has come about that wasn't discussed is this calendar year versus two-year period. We feel, that it's just as easy to say 2 years from the date of application. If an individual comes to you with an application for a transfer, see, they're focusing here on the lottery. What if Doug Jenkins, who's getting on in age, or a waterman who's getting on in age, wants to transfer his license, and he's in a time crunch? He needs money for medical bills. If he wants to transfer his license in July or August to an individual that's been fishing since January or February that year, but doesn't have catch from the previous 2 years, he won't be able to transfer that license. So you have an aged, maybe an infirmed waterman who's 80 years old, wants to transfer his license and will not be able to do so because of this calendar year issue. I think that we could stay with the 24-month period. It can be from the time of application. If they make application and then it comes to find out they don't have their 2 year, I understand that there are people who are, you know, maybe after the fact coming up with paperwork. I can't comment to that other than that I can see that the way the law is, that ability to do that is there. I think that we could do the 24-month prior to date of application. I understand that they're trying to get the lottery off in a timely fashion. If they want to do the calendar year to apply to the lottery, I understand that. But I think that this calendar year, if it's applied to transfers, would have a great negative impact upon aged or infirmed watermen who are trying to transfer their license to a person who's new. I know there were two people here today, and one may still be here, that just got into the fishery 6 or 8 weeks ago. He would not have been able to get into the fishery, although he had the catch in the last 8 months. He would not be able to do it if we go to this calendar of the year. So I don't want to waste any more of your time, excuse me, poor word choice, take any more of your time with this issue, but we are firmly against the calendar year switch. And I'd be glad to answer any questions. Thank you very much again for your time.
Questions of Chris? Thanks, Chris. Yes, sir. Hope you heal well. Who's next? Seeing none, the matter's before the commission. Mr. Gris, want to elaborate?
Yes, sir. Just on one of his comments, I would like to point out that, and I failed to mention this in the previous statements, when you look at the regulation pack and on page 4 of the regulation of the 6 pages, and this is going to be contained, to be precise about this to everybody, this is in section 20. This will be subsection new F, item 4. Transfers of commercial line licensees between family members shall be exempt from the requirements provided in subdivision 2 of this subsection, meaning they would not be held by the normal standards. So in a situation, let's say someone wanted to transfer to a family member of their commercial line license, that transfer would not be held up.
All right. Well, I asked a question earlier pertaining to the calendar year, and I was thinking from a computer perspective and a data management perspective that it would be easier to keep up with the calendar year. Would you like to rebut that comment by saying that you, from a data management perspective, is it just as easy, or can the computer basically track it on the 24-month as easy? I mean, I want to do what's right.
And we do as well. And the problem we have is, if you follow the timeline for the data is the issue. Data is due from the previous month and the 5th of the following month, but oftentimes with the mail and everything may not show up to the 10th or the 15th. We check it in, get it ready, we send it off to data entry. A month or two later, we have that data back to actually look at. So December data, we may not actually have in the system to view at the earliest until February or March. So tracking exactly back for 24 months is difficult. Now, they can walk in and lay down a bunch of tickets in front of us, and we can try to do it right then. Our perspective with this is also taking some staff burden out of this. But it's doable. It's just from the perspective of staff burden, the calendar year works best in both instances.
Okay, thank you. Matters before the commission for discussion and action.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
I just want to ask a follow-up question to Joe on this issue with the calendar year, and that is the, I'm wondering how isolated the case that Chris raises might be. In other words, the original intent of the qualifying criteria was to establish criteria that would that would apply to and define a working waterman, as opposed to somebody that was simply, for example, a recreational fisherman that wanted to get a permit to circumvent the recreational regulations. So the way you're proposing to describe it with a two-year period would capture anybody that's been in the commercial fishery, with the exception of somebody that just got in the last few months prior to the transfer. I mean, is this do you think this is an isolated type of situation, or how would you characterize the number of entrants into the fishery, or into the, if you think about the database, how many people have come in the last year and just now started to report catch? I mean, is that not a small number?
Staff is frequently asked in more recent years. We have applications handed to us for a transfer, and then we're asked, you know, well, I don't have my numbers yet, hold it. And then we're they'll call up and, do you have my records yet? Do you have my records yet? Do I have my records yet? And so we're continually trying to track somebody until they get their poundage holding these, you know, and this has been part of the issue that goes back to Section 20 about interpretation of that 24 months. It's become more frequent in more recent years. You know, if you go back to the original intent that was written from the Commercial Hook and Line Task Force, the hook and line license was meant for a true commercial fisherman. Now, not saying these new entrants aren't going to be true commercial fishermen, but this is a position we've been placed in now. And we've had many applications the last couple of years come in, and we go, well, the reason they just got it was they bought a commercial registration license and a commercial hook and line at the same time. So now we're advising, well, you got to go out and get a gillnet license and go get your 1,000 pounds, or go work with somebody as a helper before we can do anything with this application. This is more frequent now.
That's exactly when I purchased mine some years ago. The person I purchased it with, we went out with a gillnet license and we caught 1,000 pounds worth of rockfish, you know, because it came with tags. And then I got my hook and line license. So, I mean, it's not, you know, for a new person getting in, that's the avenue. I mean, the concept was is you're supposed to, you know, have your time in, or, you know, so having
and
your time in.
Another follow-up on just to that, just back to the lottery. We're never hurting for applications at that lottery. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize when they put into the lottery how few licenses we have every year. But we'll have, it's not even in the hundreds, you're close to 1,000 applications some years to that lottery that qualify people clamoring to be in this commercial hook and line license who have met that criteria. So you're not hurting finding someone who's qualified to buy this license.
Further questions? Okay. Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Plumlee.
I'll move to approve this change in the regulation as proposed by staff.
Second to the motion. Mr. Tankard, further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Grisp.